as the body of Christ in these days. Our focus this month is on mission and what it means to have a heart for mission, what it means to have a mind for mission, what it is to be able to think outside the box and perhaps do those things that are outside the box, if you will. Because I believe that if you're to be mission-minded, you are to think outside the box. You are to be outside the box. Because the outside of the box is a big place. And it's the world we're talking about. It's people that we're talking about. And Jesus has commanded us to go into all the world. This passage here in Matthew 28 are really the marching orders that Jesus left with his church, with the body of Christ. He met with his disciples after his resurrection many times before he ascended into heaven. He presented them with the truths of the kingdom. He was faithful in terms of declaring the mysteries of God in so many different ways. And here we see him with his disciples, the 11 disciples. Remember, there were minus one because of Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed Jesus, the one who had denied Jesus, of course, was Peter, but Peter was there. But there they were. They were at a mountain where Jesus had told them to go. He told them to be there. Many days even before he went to the cross, the disciples did not understand at all, and then he told them to go to the mountain after the resurrection, in those 40 days before he ascended into heaven. And so it says, when they saw him, they worshipped him. There's something about those words there that are powerful, because when they saw him, they worshipped him. They rejoiced in knowing that God had kept his word, that Jesus had kept his word, that he would meet them where he told them he would meet them. Another evidence, another sign of the fact that Jesus was declaring the kingdom truths that would make a difference for all time and all eternity. So they worshipped him, but it says some doubted. And sometimes we forget that part. There were all kinds of doubters that Jesus had. And there are many doubters today as well. Even those who were part of the church, many are doubters. Many are those like Thomas, who said, unless I touch his side, unless I touch his hand, unless I see it up front and close and in person, I will not believe. So there were those kinds of people there that day, and Jesus came to them and he said, all authority has been given to me on earth, in heaven and on earth. All authority. He had the backing of his Heavenly Father. He had the backing of all of creation, because all authority had been given. Think of that word, authority. When we think of authority, we think of police officers, and we think of those who are over us, those who may have some kind of way with us in terms of causing us to bend in order to be compliant with the rules and the regulations of this world. But when Jesus said, all authority has been given to me, he was very serious in what he said. And this morning, I want us to think just a little bit about that. I want us to think about the Great Commission. I want us to think about our mission. And I want us to think about the fact that these verses contain God's plan for the future. God's plan for the church, his purpose for the church. And just as thousands of Americans have given their lives for freedom, and of course, September the 11th, 2001, 3,000 people died, over 2,000 soldiers died in Afghanistan as a result of 9/11, you know, and many more still giving their lives today. Christians, I heard this past week again that over 500 Christians were slaughtered in central Afghanistan this past week. And so there are many, many Christians being martyred for their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. If you ever have an opportunity, go to thevoiceofthemartyrs.com and you'll see exactly what's happening. Not just in Afghanistan, but in places like Iran, in places like other places of the Middle East, you'll see where Christians are dying, Christians are being tortured, Christians are being persecuted because they dare even mention the name of Jesus Christ. And so that's what's out there today. I mean, we are so sheltered here in America. We don't hear much about that. But it is taking place. And it is something that's happening. But let me help us this morning to think about what God is saying to us through the Great Commission. And, you know, we've all had missionaries come to our church, and we've all heard missionaries use this as their text, that all authority has been given in heaven and on earth, and has been given to me, Jesus says. And then he says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, teaching them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, he says, I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Those are powerful words. And they're words for us right here at Second Baptist Church in Bodenham, Maine. We're not excluded from that. And so there are three words I want to pick out of this and I want us to think about this morning. And I'm sure there's many other ways to think about this passage. But the first word is the word go. Go. And, you know, I told my son yesterday, I said, you need to go. Not go forever, but he had to go to work. So I said, go. That's not exactly the way Jesus meant that to be here. If you look at the passage that says go, it says as you go. That's what it really says in the Greek, in the original language. As you go. Therefore, go. Go. And it's a basic principle that should touch our minds and our hearts. We're asked, we're called, and we are commanded to go. To go. And share the good news that Jesus Christ is alive. And, you know, that involves a little bit of unction in our gumption. That involves a little bit of initiation. That involves a little bit of excitement, of enthusiasm. And oftentimes when we think about missions, we think of the fact that, well, that's for people in other places. We think of the fact that's not for me, does not hit home. But Jesus is commanding every single Christian, every single disciple, in the day that he lived in, and for all future generations, until the day he comes back. He says, go and make disciples. And so that is a call for each and every one of us here today to go. And we need to be serious in that. You see, we are, if you want to live a worthy life, and I believe the Christian life is a worthy life, we need to make a difference in the lives of others, then we need to go after it, don't we? We need to seek it. We need to seek He first, of course, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added onto us. We cannot wait for the world to come to us. We have to go. We're called to go. We cannot sit on our laurels while the world is going to hell. We have to go. We cannot form committees and talk about it. We have to do it. We have to go. We have to share the good news. And we can't wait for the world to come to us. That's why God has put the word go in gospel. G-O-S-P-E-L, the word go is in it. And so it demands, it requires that those of us who name the name of Jesus and who are devoted disciples of his, that we become serious about going. And it applies to the church as a whole. You know, we've got a building here with a sign out front, and if we maybe wait long enough, there might be a few people find us, but in this day and age we're living in, you know, how many people in Bodenham this morning are going to church? How many people this morning did you see on your way here who were headed to a church, any church, regardless of any denomination? I would suggest to you that 90% of the people in this village are on church, and that's a very sad picture. There's a few that go to places outside the community and other communities. I don't have the total statistics, but an overwhelming majority of people right here in this town have no church affiliation. In fact, they don't care about it. They don't care whether they go to church. They see their church, they see the church as being a building. Some people see the church as being a bunch of hypocrites. Some people see the church as being a place where people go through their rituals, and then at the end of the hour, they're let out the door, and they go back to doing things that they do all week. We have an unbelievable challenge to be able to confront the culture that we're in, to be able to convince them that God is love and that God has a plan for each and every heart and each and every person, each and every family. And he's not going to get that done by writing or scribing anything in the sky. He's going to get that mission accomplished through people like you and I, who are his servants, who are called to be his servants. And that's the challenge of the time. And most churches are so inwardly focused and do nothing but look at themselves and keeping their doors open that they have no interest in reaching the community. And I want to have us think differently about that in the days to come. Because I believe with that kind of attitude, it is a sure sign that your days are numbered. And our days will be numbered as a church if we keep up on that path. I've been reading a book, and it's called The Autopsy of the Dead Church. And it's very revealing. And I'd like to be able to pass that on. If anybody would like to read that book, I'd love to give you a copy of it, because it's certainly been God has been using that book to speak to me. It's called The Autopsy of a Dead Church. But there are many possibilities in how we can reach out as to how we can put the go in the gospel. There are many possibilities. I mean, you know, many churches are starting to use some of these methods, and you know, we need to also be careful that we don't change the message. God can use us to use different methods to reach people, but the message never changes. The gospel of Jesus Christ, that the message of God's word will never change. The word of God will never change. It stands forever. The truth of the matter is, we need to just put our thinking caps on. We need to be innovative. We need to determine where God would lead us to be able to be effective in touching lives for Christ in these days. Many different ways. I mean, the church up the street has a clothing ministry. church down the road has a food ministry. I know a couple of churches around where I live, they have a supper once a month for anybody in the community to come. And, people like to eat. Unfortunately, in these days of COVID, it's kind of limited in some ways because of that. Backpack ministries for kids in schools. Backpack ministries for veterans. It's unbelievable the number of veterans that are homeless. Unbelievable. And you don't have to go far. You can go into Brunswick and find veterans, people who served and who fought for this country who don't have a roof over their head. And that's a sad situation. And, you go into Portland and they're all over the place. People standing on street corners with signs, holding signs, saying, "Help me." You feel like yelling out. Walmart's hiring down the road here. You just feel like saying that. But we know everybody's different. There's all kinds of different needs. And so, we don't have to look far, that's what I'm saying, to see a need, even in this community, of where people need to know that God loves them. And you and I can be the instruments that He would use. All we need to do is come together, and that's what we're going to be doing in the next little while. We're going to start to stop talking about it. We're going to start doing it. And doing it to the glory of God. Getting out beyond the four walls. So Jesus said, "Go." And the Greek is really "as you go." So as you go away from this building today, we are to be His disciples. We're to make disciples. We're to show the love of Christ as we go. It's an everyday thing. It's not something meant for missionaries who are so-called professional missionaries. It's not something meant just for pastors who are so-called professional pastors. It's for the people of God to go into all the world. Into all the world. Boy, that word "world" is a big, scary word. The whole world. If you've ever flown a great distance, and I've had the opportunity to fly to Israel, and I've had the opportunity to fly to South America and different parts of the world, to Great Britain, you look out of that airplane and you just see how big this world is and how beautiful this world is. And to know that every person that lives down below you in that airplane is someone that God loves, is someone that really matters to Him. And that's what we have. And that's why we need to go. The second word is the word "stay." And I see that word here in this great commission that Jesus gives us. We're supposed to go, but we're supposed to stay. Does that really make sense? Well, here's what I mean. Jesus said this. He says, "Therefore, go and make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them." Baptizing them. Now, I believe baptism, the biblical mode, is, of course, baptism by immersion. Sorry, Judy. that's okay. And I believe that is for someone who has been regenerated by the Holy Spirit, who has made a new creature, been made a new creature in Christ. So we are to go make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them. As I look at our denomination here in Maine of 140 churches, last year we had under 100 baptisms in the entire state. That's pretty pathetic. I remember when I first started out, my first church, we had a revival. And my first 2 years we were there, we had over 65 baptisms. In 2 years, people were getting saved. Every week, someone's coming to the Lord, sitting there for a long time. They had to build on a big addition afterwards. And I had no reason, I had no understanding as to why this was happening. It certainly wasn't because of me. Not that I was any kind of a Billy Graham or anything like that. It was just the way God was moving at that particular time, using people and people coming to know Christ. Those were glorious days. I haven't seen those days in a long, long time. And may never see them again. But there are places that are seeing them. There are places who are receiving the favor of God and who are experiencing revival. And many of those places are places that are under persecution right now. Many of those places are places where Christians have to meet in secret in order to hear the Word of God, in order to praise His name. I desperately pray that we never come to that situation here in America, but we may. Who knows? So we're called to go. We're called to baptize, to teach. And what Jesus is really saying here, he's talking about a long-term commitment to the people we serve. It's not a case of our blowing in, throwing a few dollars around, waving some tracts in the air, and bellowing out a few Bible verses. It's not that at all. It's about staying long enough and being consistent long enough in our own Christian walk to the point of seeing that long-term change comes as a result of our faithfulness to Christ. One of my favorite missionaries in the past is a fellow by the name, he's gone home to be with the Lord now, his name is Dawson Trotman. And Dawson Trotman was the founder of Navigators. The story is told that one day that Dawson Trotman picked up a hitchhiker, and I used to do that too, but I don't do it anymore. Because I almost got attacked once and decided I was not going to pick up any more hitchhikers. But Dawson Trotman used to pick up hitchhikers, and one hitchhiker got into his car and he began to swear, like, profusely. And Dawson's habit was to share Christ with everybody. Didn't matter who we met. Didn't matter who it was, rich or poor, or in between, or anybody. His goal was to share Jesus Christ with that person. And so, as he began to witness, he suddenly recognized this young man. And he had witnessed to the same young man months earlier. And the man had accepted Christ. And so Dawson Trotman was beginning to ask questions, you know, why, if this guy really accepted Christ, why is he swearing like this? Why is his mouth so foul? And so he sent him away with the promise. He remembers as he led him to Christ, he sent him away with the promise of Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. And so that was the turning point for Dawson, because there's something about it in that situation, because He was terribly convicted, well, not terribly convicted, but convicted for the good, that it was a general thing that churches, Christians, that win others to Christ, they just kind of leave them by the side of the road, and they don't follow up on them. For many people, that's one of the big criticisms of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, is that people make a decision, and they're left on their own. But Billy Graham is changed all of that now, because there's an amazing discipleship ministry built in. And so he began the Navigators. Navigators is one of the great discipleship tools that God has used in this past century, in this past century and a half. So God has called us not just to preach the gospel, but to stay with people, to disciple them, to teach them, to motivate them, to encourage them. You go to the South, many churches in the South, and of course they're dominated by Southern Baptist churches, and United Methodist is a big movement down there as well. You'll find that many of those Southern Baptist churches are empty today because they had not followed up. People have just come in and gone out. Church is like it has revolving doors. And that's not the way it should be. That's not God's plan. That's not really our mission. God wants us to stay with people, to follow through as well. And so then the third thing, I've been rambling here and I'm running out of time, is this word demonstrate. The Great Commission has not only given us the go in the gospel and the stay in the gospel, but if we're to be mission-minded, we are to demonstrate what that is about. People are to look to us and say, this is what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, as we demonstrate what the gospel is. Jesus said in verse 20, he says, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Teaching them that. He said, teaching them. Not just telling them, but teaching them. And that's a crucial distinction to make, because it places a certain amount of responsibility on the teacher. And I believe one of the greatest callings a person can have is to be a teacher. And we've got a teacher here this morning. And to be a teacher in our public school system is an amazing calling, I believe, from God. And we need to affirm that. Pastors are to be teachers as well. And in a sense, all of us who are followers of Jesus are called to be teachers. And what does a teacher do? Well, that teacher makes a statement or presents some truths, hopefully based on fact, hopefully based on history, everything else. But that teacher is to live up to that teaching. Because example is what it means to demonstrate the Christian life. By example. Now, I'm sure most of us could say we've not always been good examples, and myself included. We've not always been good examples. But God has called us to demonstrate the good news. God has called us to live out the good news. Albert Schweitzer said, example is not the main thing in influencing others. It is the only thing. It is the only thing. And that means you need to have influence and example. God wants us to show others what it means to truly be followers of Jesus. He wants us to lead by example. And that's how we teach people to become disciples. To lead by example. And it's not enough to describe obedience. We must demonstrate what that obedience is about. And we need to keep demonstrating it until the lesson is learned. Teaching them everything I have commanded you. Just think of those words. When Jesus spoke those words to his disciples. Just think of the amazing amount of kingdom truths these disciples learned while they followed Jesus for 3.5 years before his death on the cross. Just think of that. Many, many times during the day, many times that are not even recorded in the scriptures, Jesus would sit down with his disciples and teach them. Many times he would draw in the sand. He would paint pictures. He would give all kinds of examples and demonstrate truth. And the disciples looked at Jesus and they saw someone who not only presented truth, but someone who lived truth as an example. That's what we need to subscribe to. That is our ideal. That's what we need to aim for as followers of Jesus Christ. Not only to present truth, but to demonstrate it. And to live it out in a world that desperately needs the gospel. And so this is the Great Commission. This is our mission. This is our calling. And the great news of this passage is this. Jesus says, Surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I'm with you always. He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm there for you. I'm there with you. And I will always be with you. That's his promise to you and to me. And we can be pretty confident in that today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these kingdom truths. And we pray that we might not take the Great Commission for granted, but Lord, that we would learn to incorporate it in our daily lives by going, by staying, by demonstrating. Father, we pray that you'd help us in that. And we depend upon you, Lord, and we depend upon your Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in that way. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.